Good afternoon and welcome to our evening, our afternoon service. Let's start in the Psalms. Let's read from the Psalms together. Psalm 142. Psalm 142, I cried unto the Lord with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him, I showed him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked with the privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld there, but there was no man that knew who would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteousness shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountiful with me. Psalm 142. Let's sing together. I'll sing 149 out of the Hymns of Zion. Pray together. Good afternoon, Sovereign Lord. We come to you in the great name of Jesus, the Precious One, the Lamb, the Lion, your beloved Son, who came to this earth and died upon the cross and shed his blood and rose again. Lord, we come to you, ask that you use these next 30 minutes or so. And as we dive into your word, Lord, what do you want us to hear? What do we need to hear? Do we need conviction? Do we need encouragement? Do we need chastisement? Do we need mercy? Lord, are we, you know our hearts, are we going through difficulties, trials, traumas that we need to minister to? Are you preparing us for trials, traumas, and difficulties ahead of us, Lord? We recognize that we live in a fallen world. Lord, we recognize that this is not heaven and that we will have difficulties. But Lord, we also have peace and joy in you. Lord, we pray that you and you alone will be our satisfaction. May you alone be our satisfaction. Hear us, Lord. Hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for our country and for our city. Father, we pray for our church. Pray for our Sunday school, Lord, that they may feel your love and know your truth. Oh, Lord, may we all pray for Vacation Bible School, Lord. Pray for this afternoon as we set up. Pray for a Monday at 6 o'clock and Tuesday at 6 o'clock. And just this whole week, Lord, may our children know your truth, know you, and may we glorify you, Lord, as we learned this morning in Romans. May we know you and glorify you. For thine is the kingdom, power, glory forever. Amen. Let's read from Luke 12 together. Luke 12. Haggai, before we get into Luke 12, we'll kind of maybe set up the chapter. So reading through Haggai, right? I love our three-prong approach where we read it personally, we get to study it, how we get to share it together, right? As a whole body, it's not very much dialogue, right? It's kind of one way. We call them sermons. And then we get into the groups, right? Then we get into circles or rectangles in the lunchroom, right? We get in circles and small groups and in apartments and in houses, and we get to talk about it and talk about his word. Because we read in Romans, we need to know God, right? Dave, you prayed for this. We need to know God. We got to know God. And we need to glorify God. Right? Isn't that what 121 says? Know God, glorify God. So I'm reading through Haggai chapter 2, and just like, is there, and I know I'm scheduled to preach, and I'm just, Lord, what do you want preached on? And then Lord, and then I'm like, is there any correlating scriptures, right? What is Haggai 2 speaking to me? So there's that part, maybe we should have read that again. Maybe there's that part in there where they say, right, you're the Lord disrupts their life. He blows, right? It's the money bags with holes. It's the famines. And then, but what does he want? He wants the temple to be rebuilt. So I gotta believe that's something for me, right? So what does he want? Joe, what does he want? What does he want? I am confident he does not want me to rebuild the temple. That's not it. Okay, I do not think that's it. What does he want? Right? What does he want from you? If it's not to rebuild the temple, we got to have the faith and trust that he's orchestrated. I always get the wrong Haggai. I always want to call him something else. Hey, why he's orchestrated Haggai 2 to be spoken, right? In this time, in this hour. Can't even find it. Right? So what does he want? Maybe you guys haven't even had that question. Maybe you had other points in your personal study. What does he want? My brain went to Matthew 6:33, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added to you. Okay. All right, Lord. So, okay, I'm going to seek you first. Okay, first, I feel like my money bag has holes in it. Right? I just feel like it does. I feel like it always has. There's been a few periods in my life where I feel like, oh, my money bag's got, it doesn't have holes. When Tara and I were first married, before we had kids, we both worked. We left paychecks in the drawer for days, for weeks, just kind of sat there, right? I didn't realize at the time, but it wasn't really, I probably didn't have very many holes at that time. I thought I did, but I just left paychecks there. Right? Most of us just don't have extra paychecks just sitting in a desk drawer, right? That's not even very smart. You should at least go put them in a savings account. Okay? So, and in my few discussions that I had, right, at noon, I am not the only one. So thank you. Thank you for also sharing with me that you feel like you have holes in your bag, because now I feel confident enough I'm not alone. Okay. I have holes in my bag. Lord, are you speaking to me through this? Right? What are we missing? What do you need me to do? I'm a minister. I want to preach your word, but I still feel like I got these. I'm a Christian who dedicated my life to you. I go to a Bible-believing church. I want to love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. What am I missing? All right. So, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. So, let's now dive in. So, then in Matthew 6:33, I'm reading through that. It kind of directs me to Luke 12. And that's where we landed. We're going to start in verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, and that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no more room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow my fruits and my good. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. When then those who shall those things be which thou hast provided. So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat. The body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And he said, And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye, then, be not able to do the thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon, in his all his good, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not that which you shall eat, or what you shall drink, neither be ye doubtful of mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have, give alms, provide yourself bags, and wax not old. O treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. Be also. We'll pause. We'll pause there. So I think we've asked the wrong. I think we've asked the wrong question, right? So I love these. I love these verses, and we'll go through them. I love the chastisement. I love the conviction of them. I love the mercy, right? And I love the call to repentance and growth in these chapters. Because I wonder when they first. So here's the first. Here's the first piece of mercy. This was a problem back in Haggai. This was a problem back in Jesus' time. And this is a problem in our time. We're not alone. This isn't new. Right? This whole thing is not a new concept. That feels good. It also kind of feels good that all the nations, do the verse 30, seek after this, and your Father know that you have needs. Right? Our culture. In our discussion, we were talking at lunch. Right? Our culture says, listen, you don't have to stop and rely and trust on God and take, right? We talked about the Sabbath a couple Sundays ago. Right? Do it yourself. Right? Be self-made. Work extra hard. So let's not think that our culture is new. Right? This has been going on for a long time. Okay. That feels good. So there is a question in the study guide, right? I wish I would have wrote it down. It said something. Then how did the Lord respond? Let's turn to it. We got to turn to it. Let's turn to Haggai 1. Third to last book. There it is. Hopefully it's still marked from this morning. How did the Lord respond, right? We don't need to repeat this morning, right? They were all about themselves in the panel house, right? They had to stop work. They got distracted. They're going about their business. And then Haggai and Zechariah are going to come. And how do the people respond? They respond correctly. They respond in repentance. They respond by going to get the wood. And they respond by start building the temple. And they did so even without permission. This is what the Lord wants. And they respond. So what the Lord, how'd the Lord bless them? What was all, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. What was added to them? Right? What was added to them in Haggai 1? Is it verse 12? Then Zebul, the son of, I'm not going to say his name, and Joshua, the high priest, with the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord the God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God has sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, unto the Lord's message to the people. I am with you, saith the Lord. This is what the Lord responds here in 13 and 14. The Lord responds, this is all these things. I am with you. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zebro, his name, the son of, his name again, governor of Judea, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, the spirit of the remnant of all the people. And they came and did the work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day in the 6th month, the 2nd year of Darius the king. That's what the Lord did. That was all these things, right? He speaks to the heart of the governor, of the high priest, and to all the people. That is all these things. And they did the work. They did the work of the Lord. So the answer is, the money bag always has holes. Your money bag will, if you're looking at your money bag, it will always have holes. It will always have holes. We think, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. He's talking about, hey, listen, you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear. Just seek me first and all these things will be added to you. Right? All these clothes and all this food will be added to you. And I know we don't believe in a prosperity gospel here, right? We say that. But if I read this, my first blush reading this, I'm like, I just got to seek God first. And then all these things will be added. Well, I love verse 33 back in Luke 12. Just to be clear, sell everything you have. Give it away. The money bag will always have holes. Stop looking at the money bag. What temple do you need to rebuild? Where can you build the kingdom? What is the Lord calling you to do? Amen. I'm tempted just to sit down. But that's it. Right? Haggai chapter 2, part B. The money bag will always have holes. Stop looking at the money bag. Give it all away. We talked a lot about worry and about treasure and building up the kingdom. God's given us a heart to build up, right? That's a God-given good thing. We just twist it. Like so many things in this world are God-given, are good. They just get twisted on this side of heaven. Because it tells us to lay up treasures, right? I think we read that, or it's at least in Matthew 6. Lay up treasures. Just don't lay up bad treasures, right? So this is kind of like, so let's go back to verse 13, this parable. This would be me like laying up bad, I'm thinking like, we don't have any kids here. I wish we did, right? And we go to like Pinheads, right? Or these video game places or Cracker Jack boxes, right? And you give like really good money to get crap. Right, you get really good money, and you get to play these games, and I know it's about the time, but then you get like knockoffs, like just junk, right? And it's almost like what we think are really cool treasures, it's really just junk. It's all going to decay. Sorry, I got distracted. All right, so back in 13, we have a brother whose older brother probably got everything. It's probably younger brother, because the older brother gets everything, and that's just not right. It's not fair. We need to change these ancient laws, and Lord, you're the one to change this ancient practice. Tell my brother to divide the stuff. And he responds and calls him man, right? This is one of the few times where he didn't say friend or disciple or loved one. He calls him man. Like, I'm not a judge or divider over you. That's not my purpose. It's not my purpose to give you things, to give you this junk. And then it says, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Listen up, right? We struggle with covetousness. We do. Take mercy that you're not alone. Take comfort that you're not alone. Be chastised not to stay in that place. Right? Market. People, smart people. Right? No, like this is the problem. So look at the marketing. I love watching marketing. It's all about stirring up desires of covetousness. It's true. Your life is so much more than the money bag, than the possessions. Right? And I don't know, we probably have different personalities. Some of us are it's in things. Right? Some of us are it's probably within our cars. Some of us are within savings account. Some of us are in making experiences happen. We have different levels, different places, right? I know my weakness. I know my definition of, and I'm not going to tell you. I might be an out loud thinker, but I'm not going to tell you where my abundance of things I possess. And he's making a parable unto them, and then he goes into this parable, right, of this rich man who has everything he needs. So much so that he tears down barns and builds bigger barns. Because he thinks life is made up of ease, food, drink, and being happy. If your life purpose is about ease, entertainment, and great food, and great drink, and about being happy, then you're a fool. You've missed it. Our years on this earth are so short. You are squandering them away. Right? He's going to tear this down, and then his soul. Nobody, we're not here forever, and everything and all these material stuff is just going to go away, and you don't know who's going to spend it. 21. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. Alright, Haggai 2. It's not about my sealed panel house. It's about building the temple. Verse 21. Am I laying up treasures for myself? Then I'm not rich towards God. So I need to be rich towards God. You can do a little equation there, right? Cross the top and bottom one off. Build a temple, be rich towards God. Okay, I'm getting closer. How do I be rich towards God? Now I can answer it, right? Now we can take our time and we can dive into the Word and we can look about the fruits of the Spirit. We can go to Romans 1:21 and we can learn we got to know God, right? We're being intentional as a church on getting to know Him by diving into His Word, by studying it on our own, by sharing it here together on Sundays, by sharing it again in small groups. We got to know God. Then we got to glorify God. We got to not be hypocrites. Right, we gotta let our life message line up to what we say and not be hunched back as we learned this morning. And be full of joy and peace. This is a troubled world, right? Let's not forget that. This isn't heaven. But there's still joy and peace, right? And purpose. You got purpose? God desired us that we need to have purpose. Millennials, you guys know that. You guys are one of your strengths as a group is you want purpose. That's a God-given thing. We all do. Sometimes we get so bogged down in the moments of life, we forget Oh, we don't have time to think about it? We get weary, but we got purpose. And then he goes on to say in verse 22, right? Hey, listen, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither your body, what you shall put on. This life is more than meat. It's more than body. It's more than raiment, right? So the message today, don't misunderstand. It's a message of more life, of a better life. This isn't a message, right? And Greg summed it up well, God's heart, this afternoon or this morning. It's not a message of, listen, you need to deny yourself, right? You need to deny these aspects, right? Stop worrying, stop taking a lot of thought in what you're going to, your ease, food, and being happy. So you can go hoity-hum, work for God. No, it's a message of life. It's a message of when we seek God and we do what He wants, when we're plugged into ministry and building up His kingdom and encouraging our brothers and sisters and being full of outreach and sharing the gospel with people who haven't heard. You got purpose. Man, my job has given me, as an appraiser, a chance to drive around town. I get to drive around town. The other day, I went downtown Indianapolis. I went to the southwest side. I went to Brownsburg. I went north of Highway 32 in Westfield. I went to Westfield. I went over to Noblesville, and I came back home to Lawrence. I literally drove around town. But I get to go, and I get to go into people's houses. And sometimes it just breaks my heart. I don't know their stories. But sometimes I get to go around and I get to see, I think this little girl, man, I got to meet a little 4-year-old this week. Man, just precious little child. And I think her parents are probably pretty good parents. They're moving back to South Carolina to be with some family, and I saw a thing about the Lord on the sign. But I've got a chance to be around some kids. And I'm just, wow, right? Like, I feel guilty. I got some guilt. So I'm processing through this, right? As I'm thinking about purpose, and the point of this whole story is to encourage you to have God's eyes and see what He has to do, and to tell you there is need, right? To tell you there is need. Phil, you know there's tons of need in your occupation. Laura, you're working on life change. You see the need, right? Some of us, I live in a pretty bubbled life, and I forget the need that is out there. And so this other little girl I met once, or I didn't meet her, this one little child that I saw, and I'm walking through this house, and this house is just terrible. It is just a mess. It's being lived, the people living in it don't own it, and it's getting bought by somebody else, and I'm just like, this poor little person. Like, how come my crops are so good? I got so many good crops, right? Here in like 17, 18, 19. I do, and you do. You have amazing grains. So we have a choice. Tear down your current barns and build bigger ones, or give it away and live for God.
Well, we've had a lot of opportunity to just reflect today, haven't we? This morning and now this afternoon, and probably any stage of life, it'd be good to reflect on these things. You know, just reflect on what motivates us and what's important to us, what our priorities are, and And, you know, what do we seek first? And some wonderful scriptures. Haggai is just, you know, awesome to think about as far as priorities. You know, what really drives us, and what, you know, what consumes our time, what consumes our money, what consumes our thoughts, and, you know, what is our preoccupation? And I think we've been challenged and encouraged to really seek God's kingdom first. I mean, that's really the bottom line, is to seek His kingdom. It's not about our kingdom, it's about His kingdom. And it's not about our things that we possess. Life does just not consist in abundance of things that we possess, but it's things of the kingdom. And so may we be encouraged to keep our focus on kingdom things, you know, on people. You know, people are kingdom things. You know, people, heaven and earth will pass away. God's word will not pass away. God's word is a kingdom thing. You know, prayer is a kingdom thing. Sharing with others is a kingdom thing. So people, as we said, people are kingdom things. And appreciate Chad's testimony too. Just, you know, just kingdom, you know, be thinking about that. And we have lots of opportunities for kingdom things. So let's be heavenly minded. Let's sing.
Father, which art in heaven, we want to come to Thee and thank Thee, Lord, for this day. We thank Thee that we've had the privilege to gather in a house and hear Thy instruction and guidance for our lives, Lord. And we have been challenged to serve Thee better, Lord, to make our life count for Thee, and to not look at the holes in our money bag, Lord, but to look on Thee and for Your will in our lives. We're thankful for this, Lord. We're thankful for the ministering brothers that have brought forth Thy word. May I see be with those, Lord, who could not gather as we have in this day, where they have had a desire, Lord. We ask Thee to fill their hearts with Your love and mercy, Lord. And those who are sick, Lord, we ask Thee to heal them according to Your will. Bless our week now as we go forth. Bless each one that is gathered here in this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.